chapter 14 and verse 9. And if you can stand just for the reading of the word of the Lord, we honor God that way. Amen. It's not anything to do with me. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name three. Oh, it doesn't say his name would be three. It says his name would be one. Amen. And I'd also like to read, and this is not on the PowerPoint, but Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, which I can quote, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." With the help of the Lord, we're going to study a little bit and preach a little bit about one name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be here. Thank you, Lord, for being able to preach your word. Thank you for faithful people that support your work, God. Just a general good spirit in the church, Lord. And we appreciate you and ask for your touch upon this preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And there is a blessing that comes in knowing the name of the Lord. Now, some people think that they know the name of the Lord, but they really don't understand the depth of the power. And of course, many people will call the name of Jesus. I quoted Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, because I see that in some churches that it tells us there's no salvation any other. It's another scripture, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, that tells us that Jesus is the name that the whole family is named after. And another scripture speaks to us, says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus." Amen. Hey, I am special. I got two. It's either that or she thinks that I have an endless bottom here. So it talks to us much about the name of the Lord. My experience with people is some people think they know the name of the Lord, but they really don't, because if they really did, they would follow the scripture that says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed." There are many people that refuse to baptize in Jesus' name, and they're not following that scripture. Amen? John the Baptist said, "I indeed do baptize you." So baptism is a deed. And the scripture says, "Whatever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus." Now, go ahead and go to that next slide. It's going to be hard to see, but I don't know if anybody ever seen this poster. It's been out for many years. It has all the names of the Lord. And in the center, the white one says, "I am." I am. And, of course, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins." And in that, he relates himself to the great God of Exodus chapter 3. He relates himself to the Jewish name Adonai and Elohim and all the rest of that, the God of the burning bush, when Moses went to the Lord and said, "Who shall I say sent him?" And the Lord said, "I am that I am. The I am hath sent you." So when the Jews refer to the I am, that's what they're talking about. And when Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am," he's not saying that unless you believe that I am the second person in a Trinity. He's saying, "Unless you believe that I am has come in the flesh." Amen? I am has come in the flesh. You say, well, and we've been talking about oneness on and off for several months now, or what's called the oneness of God. And that's really biblical, because what is can anybody quote for me Deuteronomy 6 and 4? Anybody? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Amen. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and thou shalt teach that there is one God to thee diligently to your children." So the Lord evidently thinks it's very important for us to do that. And this preaching, whatever it's going to be, is going to talk about how there used to be many different names of God, and they're all wrapped up now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. In the Old Testament, there are over two dozen names of the Lord that God was known by. He was known by El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai, Elohim, Eyaluth, Yeshah, El Olam, El Berith, El Gibor, El Roy, Jehovah, which of course again is the transliteration of Yahweh, which is also the Ed. And the reason I bring this up, because what some people say, well, the name of God in the Old Testament was unpronounceable. And some people over the years have added vowels to it so you can kind of pronounce it. But the name in the Hebrew is YHWH, which is really unpronounceable. We have translated that, or German translators in the 1500s translated that as Jehovah, and others have transliterated it to Yahweh. So when they say Yahweh, when they say Jehovah, really they're talking about the same thing, talking about the God of the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, anybody know? Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, the next slide, is the Lord will provide. And that comes from Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, that the Lord will see, that the Lord will provide. I had a man talking to me a little bit earlier, and he's going through some difficult situation. And I told him what I tell everybody else. I said, my advice to you is to seek the Lord and find out why you're going through the situation that you're going through. I quoted for him Matthew 6 and 33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As do you fast and pray? Well, not right now. Well, you're in a situation, you need to seek the Lord. Amen? If there's ever a situation you need to seek the Lord is when you've got difficulties and you've got troubles, because as I've said many times, nobody comes to God when times are good. Everybody comes to the Lord when times are difficult. Even Sister Miriam gave me a testimony yesterday how a certain thing happened, and it was that thing that happened that brought her to this church, because she began to seek the Lord. She couldn't find a church like her church at home, and she began anew that search, and the Lord has really helped her over these couple of years now. Is that correct? And some things have just really transpired. So the Lord will try to get our attention in situations, but in any situation, he is Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that sees. God can see if you're out of work. God can see if you're going to be sick. God can see if you're going to stick your hand in a table saw. So why did he keep you from doing that? I don't know, but hallelujah. He knew that. He had a preacher lined up for Sunday, and I didn't even know it. Well, I knew it. I just happened to talk to the man, the brother from Texas that was up here visiting. I checked him out, and nobody preaches in our pulpit unless I vet them, unless I find out if they're real. So I had called some friends, and they knew him out in Texas and had them all set up to preach, and boy, I needed it that Sunday. And so the Lord knew what was happening. The Lord knows what's going to happen to you. He knows if you're going to be sick. He knows if you're going to have family problems, all these things. God knows those things. But he is the Lord that provides. He is Jehovah Jireh that can help us through and provide many different things in those situations. Sometimes we say, well, he can only provide money. Well, God can do more than provide money. He can give you peace in the midst of the storm. Amen? He can provide health. He can provide a lot of different things besides money. We got to get our eyes opened a little bit and see that God can do great and mighty things beyond what we're able to think. Next slide is Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord our peace. Judges 6 and 24, Shalom is translated peace 170 times. It means whole and finished and fulfilled and perfected. And it's related to well and to welfare. Shalom means the kind of peace that results from being a whole person in a right relationship with God and to your fellow man. You know, do you know that in order to be right with God, you have to do the best that you can to be in a right relationship with your fellow man? You do realize that. And I've had situations where I couldn't be. I've had people upset with me. And I remember one fellow in particular. I went up to him And I couldn't do anything else. I just went up to him and said, I just want you to know I forgive you. Because I didn't want to hold anything. Well, you ain't got nothing to forgive me about. So sometimes people won't let you do those things. But you can do it on your end. And you can be as right as you can be. We have to strive. The Bible says to love the brethren. Be good to those, especially. Everybody say especially. Especially of the household of God. Be kind, be tender, loving hearted towards your brethren. That's what the Bible teaches us. So we've got to have that. And in that right relationship, we find the peace of God. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. That's what the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost is. Peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Go to the next slide. Jehovah Zidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And these are all the Old Testament names of God. He's the one, you know, as much as we live for God and we do try to please God, ultimately we put on his righteousness. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't live like you do? I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't think about it, for one. But we put on his righteousness. And there's things that we do to please the Lord. Just as I've said many times, there are things that a wife will do for a husband and a husband will do for a wife they won't do for anybody else. Right? Any of you folks that are married? Or you'll do for your kids what you won't do for anybody else. So there is that relationship thing that's there. And sometimes we will do things to please the Lord. Amen. And we put on his righteousness and we try to do to be righteous in our life. Amen. These are all the Old Testament names of God. Jehovah Shammah, the next slide, which is the Lord is there. Aren't you glad that God is there in your deepest, darkest situation? God is there. When you've got troubles, when you've got problems, when you've got despair in your life. I remember when we went through the thing with my family. Not my wife and my children, but my brother's wife and his wife and children were killed in a car accident. The Lord was there with me. I could feel him. When I had to do that funeral, it was such a horrible funeral because we didn't have the money for all the caskets we needed. So the baby was laid out in the mother's arms. It was really heart-wrenching. But I felt the strength of the Lord. And in the most dire circumstances that we are in, the Lord is there. Amen. The Lord is there. Jehovah Rophi, the next slide. The Lord that heals. How many of you have been healed at one time or another? You have been healed by God. Look around. There are people that have been healed. Now, sometimes God chooses to say no. He lets us go through some things. And, you know, like the song says, by and by, when the morning comes, we're going to understand it better by and by. I don't know why God doesn't heal me of everything. Like, my knee is bothering me today. And there's been times I haven't been able to walk because of this knee. But every time, God has helped me with this situation. My blood pressure at times is crazy. Why did God heal my blood pressure? I don't know. But I know it does help me keep focused on him. I'm just a man just like you are. Sometimes we lose our afflictions, we tend to forget some things, don't we? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Sometimes affliction's good for us. Boy, it's awful quiet. But it's the truth. Amen. It will help you to keep focused. Sometimes. The next slide, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And he's God on the battlefield. And the word means to glisten and to lift up. Psalms 4 and 6 tells us that when the devil comes at us, the Lord's going to lift up a banner. He is the Lord, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the one that goes before us in the battle. Amen. He's the one sometimes. It's like that you go into situations and you don't know how this thing, and miraculously things work out. What's happening there? God is fighting your battle. God is fighting your battle. Now, I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it and risk this. Sister Daisel, are you happy in your job? Is it a good place that the Lord gave you? It is? Everything's cool, right? Have you heard of some nurses that are absolutely miserable where they work? You're not miserable, are you? But it took you 2 years to get there. And I imagine there were times when you were like, you know, God, when am I going to get a job? He was preparing something for you that you would be happy in. And to me, it looks like that you're happy and that you're satisfied. Amen. And it just happened that that was the right place and the time was going to be at that time. God brought everything together and got you that job. And for those of you that don't know about nursing, the longer you're out of school, the harder it is to get a job. So she was out for 2 years, couldn't get a job, and God gave her a job. Hallelujah. You want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Not only did he give her a job, he gave her a job where she's content. And how many of you, I don't know about you, but I worked for who I worked for 20, almost 25 years. I was never content. I mean, there were some good days, but I could never say, you know what, I like what I'm doing. I would rather have been doing something else at the whole 25 years, but I supported my family. I did what a father should do. Amen. And I did a job I didn't really care for. I would have loved for that 25 years to have a job that I could actually enjoy going to. Not that I didn't like fixing stuff, but there was just something I didn't care for the whole time. So the Lord, she prayed. God gave her a job. Hallelujah. He is the one that fights the battles for us, even though it doesn't look like he's fighting them. The next one, Jehovah Mekadesh, which is the Lord that sanctifies. And that's kind of related to the righteousness. Our holiness comes from God. The Bible says, now are you washed, now are you justified, now are you sanctified. The born-again experience includes water and spirit, baptism and Holy Ghost baptism. The water part justifies you. The remission of sins, the Bible talks about. The washing away of the sins which are past, the application of the blood. The Holy Ghost is that which sanctifies us and makes us holy. This is why a person can be born again, and they may look like, think about the worst person that you can think of. Man, they come to church, and we baptize them, and pretty soon, hallelujah, we're going to be able to do that here. Hallelujah. I'm glad. They get the Holy Ghost, and they go out and walk out the door, and somebody shoots them, and they die. Are they saved? Of course they are, because they've been born again. They're just born again. They're just a baby. And as you, how many of you look like you do when you were a month old? I was a cute baby, I guess. They say Kaylee looks like me. So you look at Kaylee and you see how sweet I was. Amen. So I was sweet like that. Becky, she was. Kaylee's like a spitting image of Becky, boy. But if you look at Becky now, you can see some of Kaylee's features in her, but she don't look the same. Well, it's the same way. You get born again, but then you begin to grow. And what you were, I'm 54 now. 54 years ago, I actually had a diaper on, and you know, don't look like that anymore. We all grow. And our righteousness, though, really comes from the Lord. He's the one that sanctifies us. We do what we need to do. The Bible talks about being born again. We go in the waters of baptism. We have the name of Jesus called over us. Amen. If you've never had the name of Jesus called over you in water baptism, you need to do it. I guess nobody believes that. Amen. 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 So, next slide, Elroy, the God of seeing, Hagar in Genesis 16 and 13, the one that opens our eyes. Doesn't God do that sometimes? Opens your eyes. What a wonderful thing is when God gives you that spirit of discernment where you can understand what's happening behind the lines. Amen. I've had times when I've gotten phone calls and I felt a check in my spirit because the Lord gives you, he opens your eyes a little bit. El Roy, next slide is El Olam, the everlasting God. He's the God from everlasting to everlasting. God transcends time. We are limited. We are created. God was uncreated. You say, well, how can God be uncreated? I don't know. But even if you want to talk about, you know, you say you believe in evolution and you believe in the Big Bang, and there was, where did that matter come from? So the fact is that there are things that we don't know how they came to pass. How God is from everlasting, that we don't understand that, but we know that. Because he is the one that is from everlasting to everlasting. Next slide, El Gibor, the mighty God. Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. What? El Gibor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. The Son would be called the everlasting Father. I don't know about you, but I've had people come to me. They say, well, you're telling me that Jesus is his own Father? Well, not in that sense, but the Bible does say in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 that the Son would be called the everlasting Father. So if you got a problem with that, don't have a problem with me. Have a problem with the Word of God. Amen? The Prince of Peace, that's who Jesus is, all those names. But the Bible says that the day would come, and you can go two slides ahead, that there would be one Lord and his name would be one. We read that scripture. No longer would we need to call all these different names. Amen. And the Lord shall be king. Next slide. The NLT says, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And on that day, the Lord will be one and his name alone shall be worshipped. That one name is the name that's going to be worshipped. What is Isaiah? I don't know if I have the scriptures in here. Let me look. But go ahead and put up Isaiah chapter 12 here. And some of us have seen this before, some of us haven't, but we'll just talk about it. If you go to Isaiah chapter 12, we're going to read the whole chapter there, and it's all prophetical. It's all prophetical of Jesus Christ. It's what they call messianic scriptures. Isaiah chapter 12, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I'm going to praise you. For thou was angry with me, and thine anger is turned away. And now you give me the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Comforter. Amen. Amen. It looks like our thing crashed again. More work. Got to try to figure that out. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter. Isn't that what the Bible says? Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. And you gave me the Holy Ghost. You ought to praise God. He gave you the Holy Ghost. Amen. Behold, God is my salvation. And I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has also become, and that word salvation there is a form of the name Yahashua, which is Jesus in the Hebrew. Amen. Therefore, behold, God is my Jesus. We can read it like that. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my Jesus. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of who? Jesus. John 7, 37 through 39, in that great day, the great day of the feast, last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Water. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall you say, Praise the Lord. I've had people, I've even had some Pentecostal folks, well, why don't you just do that and just say it? Well, the scripture says, in that day, you're going to say praise the Lord. So I use it as a greeting. Praise the Lord, how are you doing? That's all right. The Bible says we're going to do that. Declare his doings among the people and make mention that what is exalted? That one name. The one name is exalted. Isn't that what the scripture said? It said that in that day, his name is going to be one. There's going to be one Lord. His name is going to be one name. Amen? The spirit of revelation and understanding may have come upon you if you've never seen this before. There's a blessing that comes in knowing the name of the Lord. That's what happened to Jacob. When Jacob was seeking the name of the Lord, the angel wrestled with him all night. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you tell me your name. And the scripture says the angel blessed him. It also took a mark out of his thigh, and he was marked the rest of his life. I got my own marks like that now. Hallelujah. I guess I'm like Jacob. But he sought the name of the Lord, and he got blessed for it. Jacob was blessed. Amen. Let's go down a couple of more slides. Maybe you can find the one in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It talks just a couple of slides ahead of that, Brother Joshua. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. It's above Jehovah Jireh. It's above El Elyon. It's above Elohim. It's above Adonai. It's above Jehovah Zidkenu. And if you look and you literally look at Jesus Christ and all these things, when you say Jesus, you've said it all. Because all of that is wrapped up when you talk about Jesus. Who is he? He's my provider. Ask anything of my Father, I'm going to give it to you in my name. Amen. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my savior. When you say Jesus, that all that name has become one now. And there's a blessing that's knowing the name of the Lord. Verse 10 says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The NIV says it like this, that therefore God has highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Don't you know that the devil is going to bow to Jesus' name? Amen. One day Confucius is going to bow to Jesus' name. Mohammed is going to bow to Jesus' name. If they didn't do it here in this life, guess what's going to happen in the afterlife? There is going to come a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord of glory, the scripture says. Hallelujah. And there's something, there's such a blessing that comes in preaching about the oneness of God, preaching about the name of the Lord. There is a blessing that comes in knowing his name, as I've said. Amen. Let's go just ahead a few slides. Actually, we're going to go ahead quite a few slides. Hallelujah, because I've said a lot of this already. I get ahead of myself so far. Old Testament name is Tsur, the rock. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. And a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. But what does the scripture say about Jesus Christ? Next slide, 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. All did drink at the same spiritual drink. All drank at the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. And he hath built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being that chief rock, being that chief cornerstone. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Wherefore it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What did Jesus say when he was talking to Peter in Matthew chapter 16? He said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the rock. He's the Jesus. He's the Son of the living God. We talk about that. People say, well, that's where the Pope come because Peter means rock. Peter doesn't mean rock. Peter means little stone. Peter had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And because of that revelation, he was given the power to preach the first sermon in the book of Acts. And that's Matthew 16, verses 16 through 19 thereabouts. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been said that some are troubled because they've got to give the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost equal time and attention in prayer, and it's simply not possible to do that. But there are people like that. They're like, you know, I've been worshiping Jesus too much, so I got to pray to the Father. I got to pray to the Holy Ghost. They don't understand. These three are one. The name is one. The God is one. Mighty God is Jesus. Hallelujah. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead does not dwell in Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't dwell in the Godhead. The Godhead does dwell in Jesus Christ. I got it backwards there. Don't have a cow there. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus does not dwell in the Godhead where the Father and the Son are. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are. The Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead, the scripture says. Not all the quantity of God, because you cannot contain the Spirit of God, but all the power, all the anointing, all the foreknowledge. We say that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He knows everything. He's all powerful, and he's everywhere. That's why Jesus Christ can be everywhere. You know, the body exists right now in heaven. Jesus is in heaven somewhere. He's got his throne, but we feel his power and we feel his presence. How is that possible? Because the body cannot be everywhere, but the Spirit is everywhere. Amen. It's because the Spirit inside of Christ is the Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He's El Roy. He's El Elyon. Amen. That Spirit's inside of him. We know him as Jesus Christ. That name which was multiple names has now become one name. And we know the name of the Lord. We're the ones that when you go to get baptized, we call the name of Jesus over you. We're not ashamed of his name. We know the power of the name. He's the one that's able to deliver you. He's the one that's able to heal you. He's the one that's able to provide for you. It's all wrapped up in him. Hallelujah. No wonder why the scripture declared in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. Whatever you do in word or in deed, like I said, the Bible says to do it in Jesus' name. So if you're going ahead and pray, we pray over his food. How? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're saying your prayers in the morning or in the evening, what do? You pray in Jesus' name. When we go down in the water, what do? We go down in Jesus' name, not by the authority of his name, but we call the name just like you would call the name over a person that's possessed by the devil. We don't go to that person and say, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of him in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, we don't do that. We tell the devil in the name of Jesus, come out of him. Why? Because there's power in the name. Amen. And I'm so glad that I know the fullness of who he is. In him, the scripture says, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. It's important for you to understand this. It's important for you to get a revelation of who he is. Hallelujah. The name of God in the Old Testament. Sister E, why don't you come? I know that you're busy, but why don't you come? She's somewhere. I don't know if she's in the back with Brother Taya or downstairs with Sister Gladys and Jericho, but I know she's somewhere. The great thing about the New Testament is we have an understanding that while we don't use his name for a curse word, We are free to call upon the name of the Lord. When we are in distress. I remember the story my wife told me, and we were just married or it was just before we got married. I can't remember which. And she was driving in Oklahoma. Anybody ever drive in Oklahoma? Texas? They got ruts on the side of the road because the land is so flat. When the water comes, when the rain comes, it floods the road. So they put these gullies on the side of the road. Come on out if you would, Sister E. And she started to go into the gully. She was driving too fast. She made a mistake. And she started to go into that gully, and the car began to roll. And the only thing she could do was call on the name of Jesus. She said that car was on its way over, and all of a sudden it went, pow! Amen. Amen. How many of you got a testimony like that? When there was something going on, there was some critical juncture in your life, you called on the name of Jesus and something came to pass. Anybody? Can you lift up your hand? Hallelujah. I know Brother Etienne had that one. Boy, he got out of the truck and he was walking in somewhere and somebody said, your truck, your truck. He's like, what's the matter with my truck? Oh my God, it's going down a hill backwards. Or is it backwards or forwards? Backwards or forwards? Was it going that way or that way? It was going down the hill. Whichever way it was going, backwards or forwards, he had a run. He caught that truck just before it went over the edge of the bridge, down into the river. You talk about having a bad day? I'd have a bad day if I had a load full of stuff that I'm responsible for that. My truck's heading down, and it's going to go into the river, and it's going to crash and burn, and I'm going to be out of business. But what did you do? You called upon the, Jesus, help me, Lord. And he got in that truck and stopped it just before the critical moment where you went over the hill and into the water. Amen. How many others got a testimony like that? You had something happen to you when you called upon the... There's power in the name of the Lord, friend. You try it. You understand who your Savior is. You understand the one who is. And you talk about it. And when you pray, pray in His name. When you've got troubles, you can call upon that name. It's not too sacred for you to call upon because we know the power of the one that we're calling upon. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that I know the name of the Lord. You're headed the wrong way. Come back out here. Hallelujah. Or you're going to have to listen to me sing a cappella, and that don't sound good. I want to sing that old song just one more time. And let's just stand and let's just worship the Lord a little bit and just know that we've got a revelation of who He is. And if you don't have that full revelation yet, you're beginning to see. I was teaching Bible study the other night, and I asked the fella, I said, when you see God, what do you see? He says, I don't see it the way I used to. I told him, you've been hanging around too long. Because he sees the Spirit of God now instead of God the Father. Amen. That's what happens if you hang around long enough. You'll begin to get some understanding that you never had before. You'll get some discernment that you never had before. You'll get some blessing that you never had before because there's a blessing that comes in knowing the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Give me a key. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. 369. The mighty God, no, it's too low. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, He's the King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things were made. The fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him.
The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Well, Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe, the Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, the full redemption, oh glory to His name. It's all in Him. It's all.
Why don't you just take some time and just worship the Lord. Thank Him for revelation. Thank Him for understanding. Amen. Glory in Him a little bit. Bible says, him that glory, let's him glory in the Lord.
The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Well, He's